Good morning. I'm Josh Whitney. I'm one of the pastors of The Rock. Welcome to the next installment of The Rock Solid class. We're going to talk about communication and conflict resolution, and there are a lot more blanks on this teaching, so you'll need to pay attention and follow along carefully on the PowerPoint. So Krista and I, we dated for 1 year, 12 months of relationship, and we had one fight in 12 months. It was on my birthday, and it's a funny story. At the time, there were a lot of hurt feelings on my part. And then we were engaged for 6 months, and I don't remember a single conflict in 6 months of engagement. And so we had 18 months of relationship out of the gate, and I honestly, right now, Lord is my witness, remember one serious fight, and I was like, psh, we are set. We have got this marital thing in the bag. And I read all of these books on dating and relationships and marriage. I was like, I've read all these books. We fight like once every 18 months. We are set. And then we got married. And all of a sudden, Krista and I started to have weekly fights. I would hurt her feelings. She would hurt my feelings. There would be tears and anger. We went from one fight every 18 months to one or two fights every single week. I remember as a new husband wondering, what happened? What happened to that like dating engagement bliss where we had one fight and now we're fighting once or twice a week with tears and anger and lots of emotion? And so I want to get into some principles about communication and conflict resolution that have made a dramatic difference in our marriage. 14 years into our marriage, Krista and I rarely have those dramatic fights. They like escalated to weekly as newly married couples. And then when we started to apply the truth that God has in this section, in these verses, it went from weekly, then down to monthly, and now it's like quarterly. We love hanging out with each other. God's truth has made a dramatic positive difference in our relationship. I love hanging out with that woman so much. And men and women, there are no silver bullets when it comes to relationships. It's like the budgeting teaching. It's very simple principles. The question is, will you apply those principles to your finances? It's the same way with communication and conflict. The principles are fairly simple. Will you apply those principles in your marriage with your spouse? Let's get going on the handout, the first paragraph there. Out of a hunger for intimacy, we seek to be close to another individual. Communication is the best avenue to share the thoughts and emotions that draw us closer. But as we get closer, we notice differences, irritations, and problems. Handled incorrectly, these things prevent communication and limit our intimacy. Handled correctly, however, such conflicts can be the doorway to greater intimacy. And again, if you are not married and you're listening to this, right now is the time you want to start applying God's principles on communication and conflict resolution. So the next paragraph. Great marriages have conflicts. If two people agree on everything, then one person isn't needed. A mature marriage is not a conflict-free marriage. The best indicator of a mature marriage is how quickly a couple achieves a healthy resolution to conflict. Is that last sentence bold on your handout? The best indicator of a mature marriage is how quickly a couple achieves healthy resolution to a conflict. And then the next paragraph. Great marriages are cultivated. They take a great deal of work. That work is definitely rewarding as the resolution of conflict provides a greater understanding and enjoyment of each other. Detachment occurs when communication breaks down or becomes unhealthy and conflicts are not resolved. So we need to discover common ground with our spouse. We need intimacy. The next blank's there. Why do we need intimacy? What's gained from a close, healthy relationship? Emotional support, encouragement, advice, and companionship. You can fill in the blanks there. Again, there are a lot of blanks on this one. Without intentional effort, growing apart is natural, like the law of gravity. That's the natural tendency in marriage, but you must battle against it. Here are some strategies. It's like the second law of thermodynamics, which says everything is heading towards greater entropy. So if you go pick up your desk and you put everything away and you organize your desk and you don't do any pickup for the next month, your desk will be messier at the end of the month. It's the same way in our marriage relationships. If we're not applying intentional effort to build that relationship, it heads towards entropy or disorder. So here's some strategies. Weekly date nights, spontaneous discussions, discuss your feelings. You see there it says five levels of communication are the facts, the cliches, the opinions, the feelings, and the needs. We want to try to operate at the feelings and needs level. It means just go deeper in your communication with your spouse and common activities, even those you don't like. So for Kristen and I, we don't have a weekly date night. What we have, we do go on dates, let the record clearly state, but we don't like not talk to each other all week, and then we know Thursday night is our night to talk. When we were doing our pre-marriage counseling, the pastor said to us, you should aim for an hour of communication every single day. And so I, as a new husband, was like, all right, I can do that. And so we've been married 14 years now, which is about 5,000 days of marriage. And I am not exaggerating that in 5,000 days of marriage, we have maybe missed 10 or 20 days. It's just become a habit in our marriage. We talk every single day for an hour. And it's not like I sit there and press the stopwatch and we talk. I'm talking about like driving to a meeting in the morning, I might call her and talk to her for 5 minutes. And then in the afternoon, driving somewhere else, I might call her and talk to her on the phone for 10 minutes. And then when I get back over dinner, I tell all the kids to be quiet and I talk to her for 10, 15 minutes. And then I'm doing the dishes, the kids are picking up and we talk for another 10 minutes. And then it's bedtime and she's getting ready for bed and I like prop myself up in bed so I don't fall asleep and we talk for another 10 minutes. So cumulatively, it's like an hour of conversation that happens every single day. And that has led to incredible closeness between my wife and I. When I was a new husband, and there's a misconception that people have of me because they think Josh is a pastor, pastors are chatty, they like to talk. I'm actually pretty reserved and quiet naturally. And so as a new husband, Chris would be like, how was your day? I'd be like, it was good. And she'd be like, do you care to elaborate? I was like, what is this woman? I just said it was good. That's all I got. And I had to learn as a husband to talk to my wife. And it got to a point where she knew everything about my engineering company, what projects I was working on, all of my coworkers, all of their personalities, because I learned how to talk to her about the minutiae of my life. And I had to learn some lessons on her side because she's a gifted communicator. And she would be telling me this painful blow-by-blow where a boss yelled at her and it was a jerk and I did not connect with her emotionally. I'd be like, uh-huh. She's like, what did I just say? I was like, something about your boss. I had to learn how to connect with my wife emotionally. I had to learn how to not to look at my technology when she was talking to me. Learning how to communicate was a huge learning curve that my wife and I had to enter. Let's move along. Conflicts are inevitable. Take two individuals from two totally different backgrounds and then have them become one flesh. This doesn't happen without a few sparks. The verse there, Proverbs 27:17, is iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So Krista Whitney has been God's biggest blessing in my life, and she has been God's number one tool to refine me. And refining is very painful sometimes. The next blank. Conflict is not a sign of a poor marriage. In fact, no conflict may be an indicator of other issues. Marriage is like mountain biking. If you don't go home with a few scrapes, you haven't really gone out and experienced the real thrill of the sport. A total lack of conflict may be an indicator of a lack of vulnerability, a lack of communication, complacency, or apathy. And none of those are good, people. We had some friends that never fought. So as a newly married couple, Krista and I were fighting all of the time, every week, multiple times a week, and these guys never had a disagreement. And I said to my buddy, I was like, are you guys talking? Are you being open with each other? And he was like, oh yeah, we are. And they weren't. And as their marriage went on, they started to have more disagreements because they were being so guarded with each other in their marriage that there was nothing to disagree about. Next blank. However, if you are constantly working through conflict, you might consider if you are expecting too much or if you have an unresolved source of conflict. Next paragraph. Dealing with conflict builds intimacy. Conflict will either tear us apart or bring us together. This depends on your attitude. If it's seeking understanding of your mate, that leads to greater intimacy. If it's seeking your own interest, it leads to detachment. And like I said in the roles teaching, I believe that if God has called the husbands to be like Christ and initiate with the church when the church was unlovely, I believe that God has given the husband the biblical mandate to initiate restoration of conflict with the wife. In love and respect, he says whoever is more mature can initiate. I would not argue with that. But I think Ephesians 5:25 would also put a lot of onus on the husband that you and your wife are having a fight. You man up and you go restore that relationship with her. And what was the verse in 1 Peter 3:7? It said, husbands, live with your wife in an understanding way. Part of conflict resolution is learning how to understand your spouse. I totally agree with this handout in terms of godly marriages. An indicator of a mature marriage is that you resolve conflict quickly and healthily. But I also think the second aspect of that is that you are learning to understand your spouse. And you go, when I say this to her, it hurts her feelings. I should not say that to her. When I speak with this tone, she finds that sarcastic. I should stop using that tone with my wife. I think that that greater understanding is a huge part of this. Learning what makes your husband or your wife tick. When I say those words to my man, he feels totally disrespected. I should stop using those words with him. For me, the way I think about this is like when I first married Krista, it was like I had like a high school degree in Krista. And then we were married a year or two, and I was working on my associates. And then now 14 years into it, maybe I've gotten through my bachelor's, and now I'm in my master's right now. Someday I'll do my PhD. Someday I'll do my postdoc. But I go, I want to understand that woman and what makes her tick, what annoys her and encourages her and excites her. And what I just want to understand her, and I think that's a huge part of this. Let's move along. Five common sources of conflict. First is pride. It's vain conceit. Pride is linked with arrogance and selfishness. That's the next blanks. Humility is respecting others and thinking highly of others. We know this verse here in Philippians 2:3. We think about it in the church context. I think we should think about it in that church context. It's our home, our marriage with our spouse. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider your spouse better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of your spouse. So when confronted with a disagreement, what would the humble person do? And sadly, sometimes we treat our coworker or fellow Christians with more respect than we treat our spouse. I would never, ever speak to my spouse like that. I mean, to my coworker like that. But you bet I unload on my spouse all the time. This pride also creates a lack of confidence in our spouse. There's no room for failure. The next one, another source of conflict, is insecurity in your relationship or low self-esteem. These feelings are often rooted in feeling unloved or not valued. This can create conflict, especially if the only source for love and acceptance is your spouse. Selfishness can breed here. When I was discussing this teaching with my wife once, she had an observation on that. She said, you know, as a new wife, I saw all of our conflict as, does Josh love me? It's like, why did he not respond like I wanted him to respond there? Maybe he doesn't love me. And there was something there that God had to work with my wife's heart, that your husband does love you, but Krista, God, like speaking to my wife, I love you, you're my daughter, and there's something there that's pretty profound. But this can result in draining on your spouse. Another source of conflict is unmet needs. A relationship that does not experience true companionship does not meet the need that God has created for it to meet. Like it said back in Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3, it is not good for the man to be alone. And so you get married, but you're not close. And so it causes incredible frustrations in your marriage. A lack of intimacy can be more frustrating than in any time in your life. Another source of conflict is you feel unsafe to communicate. If your conflict resolution and communication patterns are destructive, your spouse can become hesitant to share his or her feelings or needs. This results in aloneness and frustration. Individuals who feel unsafe to communicate can feel they're not allowed to be themselves, which is a major source of frustration. And then another classic source of conflict is the past. Don't dredge up dirt on each other. This indicates a lack of forgiveness and can affect every area of your life, including your relationship with God. Look at this verse in Matthew 5:23 again. Apply it to our marriage relationships. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your spouse has something against you, leave your gift in front of the altar, go and be reconciled to your spouse, then come offer your gift to God. We need to learn to forgive our spouse while at the same time striving to understand each other's past, including our family upbringing. Let's talk about some rules of engagement. This is critical. The strongest patterns for conflict resolution in our marriage are the ones that were modeled, not learned. That's your next blank. Modeled, not learned. We typically adopt patterns that we are exposed to by our parents, and that is not always good. So here's the litmus test. By show of hands, how many of you go, you know what, I was raised in a godly Christian home with godly parents who loved Jesus, who had good communication patterns and good conflict resolution patterns. Raise your hand high. Don't be embarrassed. Okay, we're maybe running 20%, if that. That means that most of us did not see this modeled well. The point is not to avoid anger. Anger is not the problem. It is possible to be angry and not sin. Jesus became angry at the money changers and drove them out of the temple. The problem is the focus of our anger and how we deal with it. So I agree with this, that understand there's going to be emotions, but I would add this warning, Josh Whitney warning, Jesus is Jesus and we ain't Jesus. So don't be like, I'm angry like Jesus. You're probably angry like a sinner. So I'm not going to read this verse, but Ephesians 4:25 through 32, again, we apply this to the church body and we go all this stuff. Don't let the anger, apply this to your marriage, the relationship with your significant other. Tremendous stuff, which we're going to get to in a second. We'll come back to this, but apply that passage to your marital relationship. So there are two classic ways to handle conflict. There's the way of the turtle. The turtle handles the anger that results from conflict by withdrawing into its shell. The turtle hopes the situation will eventually go away and correct itself. This is avoidance and never accomplishes anything. The hurt gets buried and eventually will come out back to the surface. I am a turtle. My wife hurts my feelings. I'm like, withdraw. Classic turtle. And so here is the verse for the turtles in the room. Rather speak the truth in love. Because the truth is, turtles, we think we're not going to bring it up, but sometime the turtles come out of their shell and they let you have it. So turtles need to speak the truth in love. I am hurt. I'm not going to withdraw. I'm going to tell you that that hurt my feelings. And then the other side of the coin is the way of the skunk. Skunks handle the anger that results from conflict by spraying all over the place. And then there's a big stink for days. The heart of this response is malice, an actual heart or desire to hurt. Verbal abuse is common. Words are devastating. Words hurt. It says in Proverbs, they're like the thrust of a sword. So a good verse for all the skunks in the room that like to speak and spray their words, Psalm 141:3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. So whether you're a turtle or a skunk, I think it's worth just describing a conflict between Chris and I. The ground rules are we don't yell, we don't raise our voice, we don't swear, we don't threaten. We've had to learn that if you're emotionally in control and trying to be in the spirit, the conflict goes a lot better. We resolve the conflict a lot more quickly versus I can get loud, well, I can get louder, I can start swearing, I can throw stuff. We all know what it's like when we're emotional and we're angry, but the ground rules for conflict have to be totally different. We have to go, you know what? Those verses on how we should treat each other in the church as Spirit-filled Christians, we need to learn how to apply those in our marriage with our spouse who has made us angry right now. So here's some really bad argument techniques. Let's cruise through these eight. These are surefire ways to severe intimacy. First off, A, accuse your mate. Accusations are only good for fueling the fire. It's like the you always, you never accusations. Here's the verse, Proverbs 26, 21. As charcoal to ember and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. Another bad technique. Remember past offenses. We need to learn how to acquire selective memory. Proverbs 17, 9. He who covers over an offense promotes love. So a quick story. Krista and I as a newly married couple that first year of marriage. Krista said to me once with tears and emotion, Josh, you used to really romance me as a dating couple or an engaged couple, and you don't do it as much. And we had a hard conversation, and eventually I apologized. I said, I'm going to pursue you and romance you more. And I started to do it faithfully for a number of months, and I followed up with her, and I said, hey, remember that whole romance thing we had, that conversation, that fight? How have I been doing? And she's like, what? I said, remember, you were upset. I wasn't romancing you. She's like, I don't remember. That's a good thing. We had a conflict. I repented. I changed. And my wife forgot about it. That is a positive thing. Another bad technique is guess your mate's intention. Learn to ask a lot of questions. Let them explain what they are thinking. Oh, I know what my husband meant when he said that. Proverbs 18, 13, it is foolish to answer before you listen. Another bad technique. Use the silent treatment. This communicates rejection. If you are too angry to speak with your spouse, talk to God about it and then talk to your spouse. We were counseling a married couple once. They were having a bunch of fights and the guy was like, I'm so angry. I just want to punch the wall. I need to go on a prayer walk. I said, all right, buddy, I'd rather you go on a prayer walk than punch the wall in front of your wife. But I said, I think God wants you to learn to control your emotions and not just have incredible anger towards your wife. God can teach us techniques in our marriage that lead to just a healthier, more Christ-like marriage. Another bad technique, we'll skip that verse. It's a tremendous one. Another bad technique is make sure you are selfish. Great marriage is 100% to 100% relationship. This means that both spouses just, I'm all in. I'm going to give myself completely, 100%. James 3, 16, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. It's so easy in our relationships to be like, well, I did this, now it's your turn. I gave you this, now it's your turn. I wrote you that, now it's your turn. I said this, I served you here, now it's your turn. And godly marriages go, no, that's a selfish ambition. I'm just 100% in. Another bad technique, excuse yourself from wrong. Excuses will always cause tension and disunity in your relationship. Take responsibility. Proverbs 16, 18, pride comes before destruction. Remember in Genesis when Adam and Eve sinned, God said, Adam, what did he do? And Adam said, the woman you gave me led me into sin. It is in our DNA to make excuses for our sin. Another bad relationship argument technique is never listen. Your favorite TV show is not as important as a conversation with your spouse. James 1, 19, be quick to listen, slow to speak. A quick story on this newly married couple again. I'm sitting there watching Simpsons. Krista comes back from working. She carries some bags of groceries in the house. I was like, hi, Krista. My show's almost over. I'll be there in a minute. And like the way she set the groceries down in the kitchen, I knew she was not happy. I got up and walked in there. And she's like, Josh, you made me feel like Simpsons was more important than talking to me. I was like, wife, it was a new episode. I hadn't seen it before. I share so you can learn from my mistakes. All right. The final bad technique is talk down to your mates. Sarcasm and insults are sometimes used to get another person to listen, to change, or to respond. This communicates a lack of respect. Bitterness and anger build up in this environment. Go back to that Ephesians passage 4:29. Again, we think church, think marriage. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up your spouse according to their needs, that it may benefit your spouse. So conflict resolution and deeper intimacy. We must learn how to deal with the conflicts in our marriage. Unresolved conflicts result in unresolved anger, which results in unexpected and major damage. Keep reading there. Divorce may seem like the only option. Don't allow divorce to be an option. God has a plan for your marriage. This one. To be successful regardless of the damage. I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. There is no situation we cannot handle without God's Spirit and the Word of God. I have seen too many couples start applying God's truth to their marriage, and all of a sudden their marriage starts getting better. I've seen couples that were yelling, screaming, swearing, violence, threatening divorce, and they started to obey what God said, and then their marriages started to get better. And I think there's something here in terms of what is the status quo in our marriage. We should be 100% united with our spouse. We're on the same page. We love hanging out with each other. We love talking to each other. Best friend, love being around her. But we do something rude and we dip down to like an 80% or a 90% united. We have a choice in that moment. Are we going to battle to get back up to 100% united, or are we going to be cool with 80%? I'm cool with 80. It's better than zero. But then we do another fight and we dip to a 60. You want to battle to be 100% united with your spouse all of the time. There's just a lot of protection there. Let's read the handout. Keep reading. Recognize that conflict is not abnormal. It is actually a doorway to intimacy. If our heart is to resolve it and understand our spouse, you will be closer to your spouse on the other side of the conflict. Get yourself right first. When you sense conflict in your relationship, look first to yourself. Don't repair someone else until you've had the time to repair yourself. Unless you do this, you will not have the discernment and temperament for healthy conflict resolution. That passage there on Matthew 7, talking about the plank in your own eye. Again, we think about this with other Christians in the church. Apply it to your spouse first. So pursue these attitudes. Here's your next blanks. Be willing to be wrong. And when you're wrong, ask for forgiveness. Be willing to forgive. Say, I will forgive you. Be eager to reconcile and be prayerful. So I literally mean, guys, like I said something rude to my wife and she was upset and we had to talk through it and there were tears and there were emotions. And 30 or 40 minutes later, I say, Krista, I get it. That was rude when I said that to you. I should not have said that to you. Will you please forgive me? And she says, I forgive you, Josh. We hug and we kiss. We've like worked back to that 100%. And then you go, let's keep our conversation going and let's start talking about life again. Keep reading on your handout. Gather the facts about the conflict. Try not to operate in the areas of emotion and guest intentions. The truth will set you free. Use the right timing and setting in private, not in front of your kids. Columbia found that we get in a lot of fights when we're hungry and bedtime, when we're tired. Be solution-centered. Avoid accusations and persevere through the emotion. My wife, again, has been the most incredible blessing in my life, but she has been the most frustrating person I've ever lived with or interacted with. But I've been, you know what, I'm going to stay here right now, and I'm going to talk this out, and we're going to figure this out, and we're going to get united because I want us to get back on the same page. Use conflicts as an opportunity to express physical and emotional affection. That means sit by each other. Hold hands. Put your hand on her knee. Last point, and it's critical. Seek counsel from wise and respected friends, or seek marriage counseling from the pastors. Don't let the important conflicts go. Men and women, as your pastors, we would rather sit down with you. Go, you know, Josh, we've just been operating at like a C- for the last month now. We need some counsel and wisdom to get back up to an A. we would much rather have those conversations after a month or two than, you know what, we've been at an F minus for like 2 years. We're threatening divorce. We're screaming. We're swearing. I spend the night with my parents like once a week. That's where we're at. Can you help us? God is amazing. God can save the day anywhere, anytime if we just start obeying him. But we would much rather have the, Josh, we're at a B minus, we're at a C minus, we need some wisdom. As your pastors, we beseech you, church, seek help in your marriage. And men and women, there are no silver bullets. There's no magic formulas. All of these principles and truth, it's fairly simple. The question is, will you be spirit-filled and apply these principles in your marriage with your spouse when they hurt your feelings? And again, there is the couple's project. There's the homework. There's four questions for you to fill out on your own as a couple and then come back together and have a conversation about it. And then that is it. Let me pray. God, we thank you for your truth. I thank you, God, that these principles are simple, that we can understand them. Lord, I pray that you would fill us with your spirit, that you would give us the grace to apply your truth, your principles when it comes to communication and conflict resolution with the most important person in our church, our spouse. I pray, God, that we would be men and women who treat our spouse better than we treat our coworkers. We treat our spouse better than we treat our fellow Christians. I pray, God, that the marriages in our church would be amazing. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.